Outkick the coverage with Clay Travis live every weekday morning from 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern, 3 to 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for Outkick the coverage at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every morning on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
We are tracking down a bunch of different stories out there, in particular the ongoing drama of Deshaun Watson. I know many of you, by the way, in the state of Texas listening to this show right now. It's unbelievable how many people have been without power in Texas. Hopefully the deep freeze that has set in all over the country is going to be over soon. We are in the middle of a second winter storm warning in Nashville. The snow was going on all day yesterday. It has continued through the night. I mean, this doesn't happen in Nashville. A full week of activity. It's kind of crazy to be following in general. But it is ongoing and it is wacky and it does not seem like it is leaving anytime soon. Almost the entire country in the middle of a deep freeze. But there is a positive out there. And the positive is this: sports, at least in the world of baseball, are close to being back, close to being very, very normal. I don't know if a lot of you are paying as close of attention to this as I am, but in Arizona and Florida, spring training is underway with pitchers and catchers reporting. And with pitchers and catchers reporting and a 162-game schedule on tap, we are close, I believe, to getting back to as close to 100% normalcy as we possibly could be in terms of where we are headed in the larger universe of sports. And if that happens, I think one of the first questions that's going to be out there is, will people go to sporting events again in the same numbers? And if they do, will they, how long will it take to get back to normal? And look, the data is out there. I saw the reports that everybody who's going to want a COVID vaccine is going to be able to get it by the end of July, regardless of your age. And if you are older, and that's obviously who has been the most at risk of serious complications from COVID, if you are older, then you hopefully have already had access to the vaccine. Hopefully everybody who is elderly, nursing homes, everybody else is getting vaccinated. And if that occurs, then the overall death rate, which has begun to decline precipitously already, overall hospitalization rates, overall number of positive cases, all of that has just fallen off a cliff. Right. There were big numbers that started in November and kind of climbed, and we're back down basically to summer levels now in terms of people who are having issues with COVID, in terms of hospitalizations, all that stuff. I think we're back down around 60,000 people in the entire country are hospitalized right now with COVID. And so, knock on wood, you would hope with over 50 million people having received at least their first vaccination, and many of those vaccinations having gone to people who are elderly or of advanced age and having the most danger, that basically the bottom is going to fall out of any sort of danger and everything can open back up in short order. I put up a poll yesterday. My audience is not 100% representative of the larger population. I never claim that it is. But I asked you guys yesterday on Twitter, I said, hey, what percentage of you are able, like, believe that schools should be open, basically? I'll read you the exact question that I put up, and I was kind of blown away even with the popularity of my audience, even with people having a lot of opinions that sometimes overlap. I said, hey, should all public schools in this country be reopened for in-person classroom instruction? And 95% of you said yes. That's, by the way, the same opinion that the CDC has. That's the same thing that all the pediatricians out there are saying. So over 50,000 of you, I think, ended up voting in that poll. and the massive numbers, by huge numbers, you guys believe that that public school classrooms should be all open back up. But larger context with that is this question: when all of those schools open back up, do you actually believe, as you kind of shake it down, do you believe that people are going to return to sporting events in the same numbers, or have we entered into an era where people have upset their overall normal lives and they are not going to go back to baseball and basketball games, football games even as well, in the same numbers? And what I mean by that is, if you've watched on television and looked at the overall ratings numbers, I don't think there's any doubt that when sports shut down in March, April, May, June, July, a lot of people out there over that four-month period found other ways to spend their time. Maybe you watched Netflix, maybe you watched Disney Plus, maybe you just started hiking, maybe you were working out more, whatever your personal habits in your life might have become. I wonder, after an entire year, whether Major League Baseball fans are going to come back in the same manner that we were used to beforehand. Or are people going to have gotten used to moving on to other things in their life and they're not going to go back to games in the same way in person? It's a massive question because there's really not a lot of precedent for it. We've never had, to my knowledge, in our lives certainly, any sport that has just basically said, hey, we're not going to have fans for an entire year, and then they try to come back and flip the switch and return to normalcy. And the NBA and hockey aren't great examples because their season got shut down near the end of it back in March of last year. But Major League Baseball went an entire year without fans present anywhere other than in the playoffs down in Texas. So what's going to happen with people wanting to go watch spring training games? What's going to happen as the hodgepodge of rules kind of begin in terms of full stadiums? And then if we're correct and the data reflects that everybody who's going to want a vaccine is going to have access to one by the end of July, that means there'd be a lot of baseball season, theoretically, much of July and maybe also August, where fans in the stands can be back to normalcy in many ways by the summer. Are people going to go back in massive numbers? Are things going to be different? I think it is an utterly fascinating question and a massive one for sports going forward. We'll unpack that a little bit. I'll ask Jeff Schwartz about it. I may well open up phone lines and let you guys weigh in as well as we continue to roll throughout the Thursday edition of the program. Again, I hope wherever you are, I know in Texas a lot of people having a great deal of difficulty with the cold weather. I hope that talking about pitchers and catchers returning is helping to get everybody back to some form of normalcy with spring returning sooner rather than later. We'll talk about this with Jeff Schwartz. We'll also talk about the Deshaun Watson question. Is it worthwhile? In Jeff Schwartz's opinion, he lives in North Carolina, and he played for the Carolina Panthers. Does he like the idea of trading for Deshaun Watson? Does he think there's any possibility it could occur? And I'll ask him whether he wants to go watch any Major League Baseball games anytime soon. All that heading your direction. Appreciate you hanging out with us.
This is Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis.
Jeff Schwartz, who filled in for one day. I was supposed to be in Mexico, and then the double winter storm hits, and I'm not able to actually leave because all the flights get canceled. Jeff, thanks for hanging out with us here. Thanks for filling in on Tuesday. And in Charlotte, you've got some ice, but you haven't gotten slammed like we did in terms of basically the whole city and state being shut down for basically a week.
Yeah, you know, we're like one of the only states that didn't get much of anything. We got some rain all weekend. but a little snow in the mountains. You know, but outside of like Florida and California, we're like the only state that
everybody else is in like an all-time cold era, right? Like, I mean, I looked at the map, and it was basically Southern California was kind of okay. I mean, it's winter, but it's not like it's like Southern California winter, not normal winter.
Yeah.
And then Florida, like even Northern Florida had some issues, but Southern Florida is fine. Everybody else is just like a freezer box.
Yeah, I mean, it's cold. Don't get me wrong. I mean, yesterday was, you know, the wind chill was in the 20s, which is very cold for North Carolina. But look, I have a little bit of FOMO because I do wish we had some snow, right? We had President's Day on Monday. The kids were out of school. I mean, snow would have been nice, a little bit of snow. Now, not enough to shut the city down, so I'm being very picky here. A little bit of snow would have been good. We haven't had any really in a long time. The kids would have liked it. But then, of course, the problem with snow in the South is that it just shuts down your whole city, which you don't really want. So, I feel bad for people in Texas, man. The power situation is so bad.
Yeah, it's brutal.
So I'm okay with, I guess, some sunshine and just a tiny bit of ice.
Yeah, no doubt. We're talking to Jeff Schwartz. The drama out there, first of all, thanks for sitting in on Tuesday, and we'll see when I'm able to leave again. But the drama around Deshaun Watson seems like it's going to continue to build. I'm going to get to that in a sec. But if you were advising J.J. Watt, let's pretend J.J. Watt called you up and he said, hey, I got to make a decision about where to go. Where do you think J.J. Watt should go?
I think he should go to a place that would use him inside, down at three techniques, you know, defensive tackle, especially. You know, he plays Houston kind of that hybrid defensive end, defensive tackle position. I think right now in his career, just putting him at defensive tackle would be important. I also think he needs to go to a place where he's not the only guy, right? So if you look at a lot of places that are rumored to be spots for him, Pittsburgh and Green Bay and Cleveland, he won't be the only guy, right? For so many years at Houston, they had Whitney Merciless. He was good, but anywhere he goes, whether it's Cleveland or Pittsburgh or Green Bay, he won't be the only guy there, which is very important. The one team that I haven't seen people talk so much about is the Chiefs. I don't know why he wasn't even the Chiefs weren't even on the initial odds list for teams he could sign with. I don't know why he would skip out on signing with Kansas City. Money should not be much of a concern. Cap's going down this year. I don't expect him to get a big deal. But I think a place where, A, he doesn't have to play every down. Two, he can just rush the passer. And three, he can play inside. So I think if you're looking at Green Bay is a great spot right away, right? They're going to be competitive. They need him on defense. You have Kenny Clark, who's another defensive tackle, so he kind of will free himself up to rush. You know, Pittsburgh, everyone thinks Pittsburgh's brothers are there. They have a bunch of D linemen already. I mean, Watt probably will be like in a rotation. I don't know if he wants to do that or he wants to play more or less. Obviously, Kansas City is a good choice. Cleveland's interesting. If you look at the other possibilities, I'm not sure that they kind of strike me as Super Bowl ready. Cleveland, I think they had a good year last year. That's what he has to consider too, right? Is can he win wherever he goes?
It is interesting. Would you buy in at this point? Money should not be an issue for J.J. Watt, that continuing to play, probably trying to win a championship, is his number one overriding factor.
Yes. Yeah, 100%, yes.
And when you say he should play inside, is that his speed outside is not necessarily what it used to be, and so he theoretically might have an ability to get to the quarterback better on an inside technique?
I think so. If you look at him at defensive end, he's not the same player. He's older now. He's been injured a bunch. You put him inside, quicker path to the quarterback. He gets to match up against guards that maybe a little bit not as quick as offensive tackles. Come more double teams in the run game and whatnot. But it feels like that's the spot to put him. His production just seems to be better when it's inside and not at defensive end.
You are in North Carolina. We were just talking about the weather there. Another storyline has been, the Panthers. That's a report. You never know whether these reports are true or not. But reports are that basically the Carolina Panthers are willing to do whatever it takes to try to get to Deshaun Watson, potentially including moving on from Christian McCaffrey. What do you think about those reports, and do you buy into them at all with Matt Rhule, obviously, as the guy who has taken over moving into year two? Teddy Bridgewater was their guy for year one. Seems pretty clear that Teddy Bridgewater is not going to be their guy for year two. Do you buy into this report?
The Teddy Bridgewater signing made no sense at the time. You look at the Panthers and their roster, how young they were, and they just needed to be really bad and draft Trevor Lawrence. Like, that should have been the goal. And it would have made it much easier if McCaffrey had been hurt, right? I mean, it's the kind of the same situation plays out as it did last year, but you have, you know, Joe Schmo at quarterback and not a guy who's competent in Teddy Bridgewater. You probably win one or two games, and you might not have to worry about trying to get Deshaun Watson or someone else. So they failed. It made no sense. It still makes no sense. I don't know why they did it. As far as moving forward, heck yeah, they want Deshaun Watson. Who wouldn't want Deshaun Watson? And you give up everything you can. Christian McCaffrey, I've been over this many times, and Panther fans hate when I say this. The team is not any better when he's playing. The team is better when Cam Newton was playing. If you look at the numbers that McCaffrey had 2 years ago when they weren't very good and Cam was hurt most of the year, that was, what, 2019 now. McCaffrey, every game McCaffrey had huge numbers, the Panthers lost. Like, him getting 12 receptions in a game signified the Panthers were losing 31-3, right? Like, it didn't mean that he was helping them win the game. And so I just don't understand, again, paying Christian McCaffrey. We continue to see paying running backs is not paying off with playoff wins. It's not at all. And the Panthers made a mistake in doing that. So they can trade him, his salary, get him out to Houston for Deshaun Watson, 100% on board.
Honestly, at the running back position, I think you could make an argument. I'm curious if you would agree with this, that so far, and I know there's still a couple of years left on his contract, that so far Derrick Henry is maybe the only guy who has lived up to the contract that he signed. It's not like the Titans wildly overpaid him, but you look at Ezekiel Elliott, big money, total, you know, bust. You look at everything that had to go into the Steelers when it came to Le'Veon Bell. He goes to the Jets, kind of a bust situation there. He seems pretty much done. McCaffrey gets injured. We'll see whether or not he's able to continue. There's just a long litany of guys getting paid at the running back position that don't then follow up at a high level. Is right now Derrick Henry the aberration in terms of a guy who got paid and looks like he might be worth the money he's getting paid?
Yes and no. So if I were to tell you, you're obviously a Titans fan, I would tell you, hey, you could have, say I had 2,000 yards from Henry, get 1,500, 1,200, whatever it is, from, you know, a third-round running back. But the money you save with Derrick Henry's contract, you pay a defensive back or a pass rusher or another position that Tennessee greatly needs to win games, right? They're not winning or losing Super Bowl because Derrick Henry's good or not. They can't compete because they can't rush the passer. So what if I told you, hey, you take the money that you have Derrick Henry, that you gave Derrick Henry, and you can go out and buy yourself a pass rusher, maybe two pass rushers? I think you would do that in a heartbeat, right?
I think the challenge for instance, for the Titans is they spent over $20 million on Vic Beasley and Jadeveon Clowney, expecting those two guys to be guys who can get to the quarterback. And the two guys combined that they gave over $20 million to didn't get a single sack, which is one of the probably worst expenses in NFL recent history, if you think about it, in terms of the expectation for what you would get and the fact that they spent the money on two different guys and both of them ended up being total busts.
Yeah, the Clowney thing, I mean, I think most people saw that coming, right? That's why no one wanted to give him the deal, is because he was so inconsistent. He had games where he looked, I remember going back to 2 years now, was it Seattle? It was Monday Night Football or something. Thursday Night Football, he just dominated the 49ers. It was like his best game of his career. And you're like, wow, like that's what we can expect from him. Just, you never got that. And Vic Beasley just kind of never improved when he was you know, from Atlanta, just never got better. But yeah, I mean, so Henry's worked out so far. And obviously you have to now improve the defense in Tennessee to get, you know, back to where you want to be. And it's going to take a big effort to find a pass rusher in the draft. I don't know how many are available in free agency. And again, the cap situation this year is going to make things really interesting. The cap is, I think, $198 million-ish right now. It's going to go down to 178, 180, 181. So teams are going to have to be very cost-effective. And maybe you'll go the draft, undrafted free agent type of way to find guys to fill your roster. You can't afford players in free agency this year.
Do you ever remember a guy getting a big contract in the locker room and you're like, yeah, that guy doesn't care anymore? Like, do you ever remember, I'm not asking you to name names, but do you ever, was ever a discussion in the locker room where you're like, yep, that guy got paid and, you know, he's mailing it in now. Do you ever remember that happening?
I'm sure people thought that about me because I kept getting hurt, but I didn't get hurt because I was mailing in. Let me think. I don't remember. You know, I kind of, you know, people ask me about that often because I know it happens in the NFL. You know, Albert Hainsworth is obviously the example, but I've always felt, and I felt this way when the Giants paid me, is I almost felt much more obligation to live up to my contract. I know a lot of guys feel that way. Like, hey, man, and I still, the only thing I regret about my time with the Giants is just I couldn't play. Like, I got hurt and I couldn't live up to my contract. And I know a lot of players felt that way too. Like, hey, man, they paid me this money. There's pressure on me to perform. I better live up to my deal. I think there's more guys like that than there are that just packing. I'm trying to think of guys. I mean, there were guys I knew that didn't love football, but they weren't getting paid a lot of money. They just, you kind of just were good at it and made their way through. And but no one that I can recall who got a huge deal. And it was at the time like, oh, you shouldn't pay this guy.
We're breaking down everything in the world of the NFL, but also I know you're a big baseball fan, and pitchers and catchers reporting. I think it's a pretty cool sign, especially with so much of the country like kind of overwhelmed by cold weather and ready for winter to be done. It's pretty cool to see pitchers and catchers reporting and just a normal spring training being set up, isn't it?
Oh, that's great. Yeah, I mean, I think we're clearly moving to some normalcy in life again. I mean, there were reports, you know, by July maybe everyone can get vaccinated, so we're going to have normal sports. We'll have fans back in the stands for football this year. Basketball is just the oddest without fans, I feel like. I mean, you know, football, the way that the cameras are and the way that we get to see the field, it didn't feel much different. I think the fake crowd noise, some networks were better than others, but it kind of felt normal. Watching these college basketball games, man, it's like they pull their seats back. So, you know, it's just like a gym floor with a court on it. It just looks so weird. So I'm glad that we get some, you know, pitchers and catchers back. I'm sure we'll have some fans in the stands for baseball this year. I just hope the Dodgers suck. I mean, it looks like they're going to be good. They just signed Trevor Bauer to a lot of money. And, you know, they're the clear favorites to be good this year. But, yeah, I mean, it feels like we're going to get back to normal. I don't know what the first sign will be. I feel like spring football might be if everyone kind of gets back to spring football, especially out west, that'd be the first sign to me, like, okay, things feel like we're getting back to normal.
Do you think that, and I think this is a big question, and we started off the second hour kind of talking about this a little bit. Do you feel like fans are going to want to rush back to the stands for sports, or do you think fans being away from going to games for a while is going to make it more challenging to sell seats going forward? And I'm not talking about the health-related concerns, because I do think there will be people who, you know, just continue to want to be a little bit scared for a while. But I'm just talking about going forward. Sometimes when you stop whatever a habit is, right, like you and whatever that habit might be, it takes a while to return because that's the thing with habits, right? Once you get one started, if you're a business, like you got the guy who's going to show up with his kids every 3 or 4 times a year to go watch a game, and suddenly they weren't able to do that. Do fans come back in the same way to in-person sporting events post-COVID, regardless of health-related concerns? Or have a lot of people just said, hey, you know what? I'm kind of over this.
Man, that's a good question. You know, watching a game from home, you know, there's obviously amenities, right? You have your own bathroom and you have your food and your big screen.
And
TV
also,
and
by the
whatnot.
Way, I'm not even just talking about watching games from home. I think some people have just decided there are other things to entertain them other than sports, right? Like that period, March, April, May, June, where basically there was nothing going on. People start watching Netflix. Yeah. Like they kind of got away from maybe whatever your normal habits are. And I'm curious how soon people will get back to quote-unquote normalcy in terms of in-person attendance.
It's a great question because I think you're right about that, right? You got used to doing other things. I think when sports return to a more normal calendar, it'll get people more excited. I think there's people that might feel like, hey, man, I've been pent up inside my house for so long.
Yeah.
I normally don't go to a game. I'm going to go to a game, right? Like, look, as soon as I get vaccinated, like, I can't wait to do just – I don't even know what I'm going to do. Like, my wife's vaccinated now, and she's, like, all about traveling every weekend, and, like, we're not doing it every weekend, but she just was like, all right, let's go. And I feel like a lot of people might feel the same way, like, hey
– I feel like traveling,
as soon as I get
you're
vaccinated,
right.
I'm gone.
I feel like travel, you're 100% right, because there's so many people out there that basically haven't done anything in terms of, like, even you had a trip to schedule to Europe, right? Like, where you were going to go with your family and then it got canceled. And I feel like we just lost our trip down to Mexico, but I feel like people have saved up money and vacation time, maybe in a way that, they haven't before. And also, if you have something that you've wanted to do for some time, like a bucket list trip, if somebody's out there saying, hey, I always wanted to go to Africa, or I always wanted to go to Australia, or whatever that might be, you never really anticipated that you wouldn't be able to take a trip for something like COVID. And so I do feel like for big event travel like that, it is going to skyrocket because a lot of people saved up.
Yep.
But I wonder for the average game or the that sort of thing, whether people are – because we've seen people are watching less on television of sports.
Yeah.
And I wonder if that's going to translate to the gate as well.
I think for different sports, it might be – like college football, I think, comes back roaring.
Big time.
Like,
I agree.
Like this fall. Like I think college football – the stands are packed for this. I mean, you know, Oregon goes to Ohio State week two. I mean, that thing's going to be a crazy mess, right?
And tailgating. People are so desperate to be able to tailgate in a big way. Yeah.
But, you know, baseball, basketball, I don't know. I don't know if I'm rushing to go see the Hornets play in Charlotte. But I think they're going to be a slow, gradual return. It might take a couple of years. But also, too, like once we get our kids back in school full time again, like I think once all these things become normal, we'll kind of go back to the things we used to. At least I'm very hopeful we will.
I do think everybody wants to get back to normal. I do think you're right maybe on hitting on the individual sport, because my argument for a while has been the challenge for many of these stadiums is they're just too big. And I think for big super events, like you mentioned Oregon against Ohio State, the sales pitch for college football is, hey, come experience the weekend of a big college football game. You can't replicate that on television. I can replicate a lot of sporting events on television, right? And what I mean by you can't replicate it is, hey, I can't replicate spending the whole day at a tailgate hanging out with friends, being able to walk around a college campus, being surrounded by people in a big, awesome social gathering. I can't replicate that from my couch. Now, I can drink a beer. I can watch a game. So the game itself is easier to replace. I think going forward, the sort of pomp and circumstance surrounding the game is the best sales point for attending games in person. Does that make sense?
Yeah, obviously the tailgating of it. You know, I'm different, like, as a consumer, like, as far as sports. I mean, I've obviously done the whole pomp and circumstance. Like, I just go to the game. I don't go for it. But it's different with kids. Like, my son and daughter, they're, like, begging me to go to games. They're like, Daddy, why didn't we go to football this year? Well, we couldn't. Like, I think my kids will really want, like, I'll take them for that type of thing. If I'm just going by myself, I'm just going for the game. But I think, like, you know, parents with kids are going to be happy to just take their kids to sporting events again, get them out of the house and get them around people. And I know my kids, like I said, they're not like huge sports fans, but they've been begging me to take them to a game this year because they just didn't get to go. And, you know, they go to like one football game a year and they really enjoy it more in person than they do on TV. So that'll be, you're right. I think about just people will want to be around people again. And part of that is the pregame festivities.
I went to NFL games. I went to college basketball. I have been to college football. I went to games all last year as well. But one thing we couldn't do was actually go to baseball games. And I did go online. Pitchers and catchers are reporting. We're talking about that a little bit. I did go on to the Braves because my 10-year-old is a huge Atlanta Braves
fan. Yeah.
And I was like, you know what? I've got to make sure that we go to games in person, because we actually traveled down to the Battery in Atlanta. You may remember this, but for his birthday, you could stay in a hotel, and you could see into the stadium, and they also had the big screens up so you could watch the games. But being able to go watch that in person, I think, is pretty incredible.
I'm with you. And like, you know, I mean, I haven't been able to attend games in North Carolina. We haven't had fans, you know, to allow, but you know, AAA, they just redid their deal. So they'll have fans in the stands, I think, this year as well. So the Panthers did allow some fans, but I'm not as big of a Panther fan to go to big games when they're terrible. So I think Look, I hope, and you know, the question I have, even regarding our industry, like, do you think that, you know, they figured out how to do media basically without people in the same room? Do you think, like, media goes back to having in-person, in-person studio shows where everyone's, everyone has to be there? Do businesses, they figure out how to do business without traveling? Are they going to go back to traveling as much? I think a lot of these industries might be changed. Just you know, not really just sports, kind of everything else.
No, I think you're right. I think business travel, there has been a determination. Look, what I would say in general about this, and it's a really good question, is a lot of the experiments that people undertook, they would not have been willing to undertake on their own because they were concerned that it would destroy the business. And what they have found out is, hey, actually, we can do some of these things. Like, we don't have to be on the road as much for business travel as we did in the past. I think it's going to take a long time for that to come back because it's not particularly efficient.
Right. And like, I mean, I did my whole job this year. From my house. I normally during the year I go to LA four times a year. I fly up to maybe I'm doing an ESPN thing. I fly up to Bristol. I go to the Super Bowl. I go to Radio Row, which it was embarrassing. It was sad Radio Row this year. I didn't do that. Like, I did everything I did from my house, and you do a lot of your work from your house anyways. Like,
yeah,
that's, I think, what the future might just be. You don't even have to be in the same room anymore.
Yeah, I think the idea of everybody needing massive office buildings in order for people to be present, I understand the need for it to happen occasionally, but I don't think that people need traditional office settings for many jobs out there. I think it's accelerated trends that might have taken 15 or 20 years to play out. Jeff Schwartz, Appreciate it, my man. Have fun in Mexico next week, and we'll talk to you again soon.
All right, take care. Thank you.
This is Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis.
Unbelievable, by the way. Talked about this a little bit to open the show, but we have ended up all over the South and all over the country, really. I was looking at a map yesterday. Only places where it's not absolutely frigid right now, Southern California, and right now Florida, basically. And we hadn't had a winter storm warning in 5 years in Nashville, where I live. And we've had two this week. And last night, it snowed all through the night here. And it's a little bit like people all over Texas or Arkansas or Alabama or Mississippi who are Oklahoma, just not used to being under siege by winter. It's really pretty crazy to check out. So I hope things are getting better for many of you in Texas, where I know millions of people haven't had the ability to get any power, and that things are getting better sooner rather than later there. And I know by the weekend things are going to be a lot better, but appreciate all of you hanging out with us, and hope things are getting better out there everywhere across the entire country, but particularly in the South, where the level of cold has been unmatched for a very, very long time. A couple of other news stories that are out there. We haven't really talked about it, but Tim Tebow has given up his attempt to become a Major League Baseball player. He is retired. 5 years. I can't believe that it's been 5 years since he decided to go play baseball. And he made it to AAA. I'm surprised that he never got an opportunity to play in a Major League Baseball game. But he finished his career with a .223 average over 287 baseball games. We used to do the Tebow update. Remember that years ago?
With this Superman music in the background.
Yeah, years ago. Do we have audio of Tebow? I can read the quotes if we don't have the audio. I'm not sure if it's out there or not. But he said, I want to thank the Mets, the fans, all my teammates for the chance to be part of such a great organization. I loved every minute of the journey, but at the time, this time I feel called in other directions. I never want to be partially in on anything. I always want to be 100% in on whatever I choose. Thank you again for everyone's support of this awesome journey in baseball. I'll always cherish my time. I do think that relative to expectations, Tebow did far better, I think, than most people would have anticipated, given the amount of time that he had taken off before he came back to end up playing baseball. Because it's, I mean, 223 over 108, over 287 games. I mean, I think it's a pretty good sign of just what an incredible athlete Tebow was, that he was able to come back and have that level of success in any kind of endeavor like that, where he had taken so much time off. Because remember, he hadn't played baseball when he decided 5 years ago to pick it up, for basically since high school. And look, he would have gotten drafted as a high school baseball player, as many different people do, because the Major League Baseball draft is just so many rounds. But it's still pretty incredible to think about. When we come back, by the way, at the top of the third hour, the other story that is out there that we haven't spent a lot of time on, I went on yesterday with Doug Gottlieb, and I talked about it on my afternoon show as well. But Rush Limbaugh, who is an absolute legend when it comes to radio in this country, one of, I think, the two most iconic people to ever do radio in the entirety of our history as a country, alongside of Howard Stern, Rush Limbaugh, both living legends in this space. I'll talk a little bit about them and also get some of your opinions about Rush Limbaugh and also his impact. We talked a little bit as I went to break. I said, hey, how much is going to change from COVID in the world of sports? I'll also probably talk about that some with you tomorrow, just kind of giving you a early tease, because I am curious whether, and we've talked about this a little bit during the course of the show, whether people are going to be as interested in attending sporting events going forward, given that their overall habits may well have changed during this year where you basically haven't been able to go to sporting events. I don't know the answer. I don't know if it's going to take a few years for things to get back to normal. It's also possible that by summer and by the fall, as things get back to basically 100% normalcy, that people will be flooding the entire stadiums and everything else because people are so desperate to go to sporting events. I do think, for instance, big concerts, there'll be a lot of people who are really excited to go back and be able to go to concerts again, but you really haven't been able to watch those on television like you have been all the different sporting events. So that is going to be, I think, a massive storyline to follow. But when we come back, Rush Limbaugh and his impact, in particular, what happened when he went to work at ESPN. We've got a clip that we want to play for you, which was the most controversial thing, certainly in the world of sports, that ever involved Rush Limbaugh. And I want to get your reads on that as well. I hope all of you are having fantastic Thursdays, doing as best you can to handle coping with the cold and the winter weather. This is OutKick. Go subscribe for the podcast. Search out my name, Clay Travis, or OutKick. When we come back, the legacy of Rush Limbaugh on OutKick.